Begin the current daf Masechta Shavuos daf Gimel. Begin on the bottom of daf Beis Mabed. Tune lines up at the bottom of the Yamed. The Gemara begins explaining the halacha of our Mishnah, which took up the bulk of the previous daf. Says the Gemara, Mechti, let's see. Tana Mimakei Salik, the Tana of our Mishnah, opening up this Masechta, was continuing, which the order of Mishnah is, Masechta Shavuos comes after Masechta Makis. Maishna, the Tani Shavuos, what's the relationship? Why does it, after finishes Sanhedrin, which Makas is part of that, which talks about judgment and lashes, which Masechta Sanhedrin talked about death penalties and lashes is part of that, why after that does it come to laws of oaths? What's the continuation? Says the Gemara, Mishnah Detani. The reason is because at the end of Masechta Makas, one of the last Mishnayos, it said over there, Chayev al Harosh, that the person, one of the things that a person will get lashes for if he violates, is he's liable on the rounding off of his head, Shtayim, two sets of lashes. If he cuts off both of his, what's called as payas, which payas is the corners, is the edge, which is the place on the person, by a person's temple, where is the attachment of, with where the person's lower jaw is with his skull. That's where the payas are. Those are the corners of the head. A person gets two sets of lashes. Why two sets? Achas mikan, achas mikan. There's payas on either side of the face, on both temples, by the two heirs, that's where a person would be liable. So too, as we continue type of Gimel Melaf, the Mishnah there says, Valazakan, on the beard, someone destroys his beard, let's say with a razor, Shtaimikan v'shtaimikan, there's going to be two on either side, which according to Rashi's interpretation, means on the two sides of the temple. That's because the jawbone is wide, opposite the temple, and anything that's wide has two edges at its tips. So Rashi's opinion is that there's the two on either side of the face are going to be right near each other by the jawbone, but on either side of the edge of the jawbone, right beneath where the payas are, va'aras milmata, and one's going to be down below in the center of the chin, which is where the jaws are connected. That the small bone that connects the two jaws is the bone which, if someone would shave off with a razor, would be the fifth spot. Now, but one thing that we see from that halacha, the end of Masechtas Makis, is where you have chado, you have one prohibition, let's say that of payas, to mechayev lo tarti, that have two liabilities, which is similar to the theme of our opening mission of this Masechta, of shtayim shein arba, which is the conceptual framework of Shavuos, where although it says only two oaths of bitui in the Torah, there's actually four of them. So Tana Shavuos shtayim shein arba, that's why the next Masechta opens up with the laws of Shavuos, which also have a similar theme of that although there's only two, but it's going to be four, just like payas, which is one issur in the Torah, which is going to be two if someone cuts up both. Here also, although it says only two types of oaths in the Torah, it actually refers to four. Now, another question the Gemara has on our Mishnah is, Maishna hocha de tani lehu lekula, why in our Masechta does the Mishnah, the Tana of the Mishnah, open up with all the categories that have shtayim shein arba? All of them are said over here. Regarding Shabbos and the Goyim and Shavuos and Tumah, Umayshna Gabitzi Shabbos Umaris Nagoyim. But why regarding Masechta Shabbos when it opens up with the laws of Hitzah? And why by Masechta Nagoyim when it talks about the different types of Nagoyim there are? It doesn't say all the Shtayim Shein Arbas. Why here it does and there it doesn't? So Ami, they said because Shavuos, the Yedus HaTumah, the first two categories that mentioned in our Mishnah regarding oaths and regarding the awarenesses of Tumah. First of all, the Gabi Hadadi, even they're written near each other in the Torah. And additionally, it's in this element, Vidamina Hadadi Bukarbanel Vyarid. That's why they're written near each other. They're both similar, that if one violates the law, it's in the special, unique category of Karbanel Vyarid, which is depending on the person's finances, that's depending on what type of carbon is going to bring. Satani Lahu Gabi Hadadi. So once we open up Armasach, the Shvuish Taim Shanarba, we mention another halacha that's the same idea, that's very similar, that's Yidisa Tumish Taim Shanarba. Now, once we already mentioned two of the categories, that's two, that's really four, so we mentioned the other two of Shabbos and the Goyim to round off the whole tally of those things which are Shtayim Shein Arba. Now, the Gemara, whoever asked another question on the opening of our Mishnah. Pasach B'Shavuos, the Tana opens up the Perek, opens up the Masechta, talking about the laws of oaths, that there are two, that's really four. And then, Umefarish Yedias HaTumah, but then, it doesn't go and discuss the laws of Shavuos, and then opens up and says, okay, it goes and says that there are certain cases that have Yedi B'Tchili, Yedi B'Saif, and Hel Bin Saim, and then the whole Mishnah goes on to explain the laws of Yedi Satumah, and it leaves the whole topic of our Perek, of our Masechta, that of but that of Shvur Shtayim. Says the Gemara, because I did this Zuchim Ilayu. Now we said, we're saying Shvur Shtayim Shanarba. So we said once we're saying that we're saying Yedis Atuma. Now, once, since the laws of Negoim, laws of Shabbos, they're very long. We're not going to explain that in this Masechta. But the laws of Yedis Atuma, since they're small in contrast to the laws of Shvuas, which take up the first two prakam of our Masechta, so Pasik Sharilhu. So the Tana unties them. In other words, he relieves himself of that topic. So he explains first the ideas of Tumah. Bahadutani Shavuos and the Fishim Alayv. Then he says, I'm going to go teach Shavuos. Oh, it's the rest of the Parakim, the rest of Masechta, which have much more laws. And therefore, he first does the ideas of Tumah, so to speak, so to first get done with the smaller one. And then he could do which is the primary topic of this Masechta, the laws of Shavuos. Now the Gemara explains and goes through in the order the halachas of our Mishnah, which ultimately the first two parakim are going to be talking about, which are the primary of our Mishnah regarding the laws of Yedis HaTumah. So the Mishnah said, Shvu Shtayim Shen Arba. It opened up by saying that there are oaths, which are two, which is really four. What does that mean? Shtayim, the two that are written in the Torah, as we explained in the previous daf in the Mishnah, is regards to the future tense, which is Sha'eichel V'Shalo Eichel. Either he takes an oath that I will eat and he doesn't, or that I will not eat and he does eat, which for that he's liable for a Karban El B'Yarid. Shen Arba, which is four, because from a Ribui, as we'll see, it includes also regarding the past, which is a chalti v'shaloi chalti. If he swears he did eat and he really didn't, or he swears he didn't and he did, regarding all those four, he'll be chayav karban el yard. Then the Mishnah continues, Yediyas HaTumah, regarding the awareness of Tumah, is shtayim shein arba, is two that are written in the Torah, which are really four. Shtayim, there's two of them, which is Yediyas Tumas Kodesh. If someone is aware of the fact that he's Tameh and that this is Kodesh, but he has a lapse of awareness that he's Tameh. He forgets that he's Tameh and he eats Kaidish. Or V'yidiyas Tumas Mikdash. Or that he forgot that he was Tameh and he went into the base of Mikdash. Those are two halachas, meaning when he forgets the Tumah in regards to the Mikdash and the Kaidish, that's what's written in the Torah. Shein Arba, which are really four, which is because there's Yidiya of Kaidish, which is when he actually forgets that what he's eating is Kaidish and he knows he's Tameh, but he thinks it's not Kaidish, but initially he did know. Or Mikdash, or he didn't realize that this is the Mikdash, although originally he did, he has the lapse of awareness in the Mikdash. Those are the two that are learned out from the Ribui that's not written explicitly in the Pasuk. Third category the Mishnah describes, Yitzia Shabbos, carrying out into a different domain on Shabbos, are Shtayim Shanarba, also two that's really four. Shtayim, the two that are written in the Torah, is the Malacha Vaitza, which are these two types of cases. You have Vaitza Da'ani, you have the one who's standing on the outside that we call him the pauper, the one that's not the homeowner, when he carries out from the Rishus HaYachid to the Rishus HaRabim. And by Tzah Debalabais, we have the Tzah of the homeowner who's standing inside, where he takes from inside and takes outside, whereas the Oni has to stretch his hand in and take outside. Shein Arba, which are really four, which is Achnosed the Oni b'Achnosed Debalabais, is when the Oni puts in, or when the homeowner takes in. That's another two malachas, that of Achnosed, which is a Talada of Haitzah, is for a total of four. And the fourth category, Maris Negayim, the types of appearances of Negayim, are also Shnayim Shanarba, is two that's really four. You have Shnayim, there's two that are written in the Torah, Seheis Ubaheres, but although there's another terminology written there in the Torah of Sapachas, that's actually not the name of another Nega, rather that's actually referring to the name of a Toilad of derivatives, as we will explain later on, Davav, which actually teaches Shein Arba, which are four, because you have Seis V'Tilada, to each one has a Toilada, has a derivative, Seis and its Toilada, and Beheres V'Tilada. That was the opening of the Mishnah of the four types of two that's really four. Says the Gemara, Mani Maslidin, who's the Tana of a Mishnah? Lo'yir Bishmal, V'lo'yir Bikiva. Why not? If you would think the Tana of a Mishnah is Rabbi Shmuel, Ha'amar Ein Echayiv, he says there's no liability for a carbon of Oyla B'Yayrid, regarding to the topic of our parak of Shvur Shtayim Shen Arba, Ela Al Ha'asad Lavai, only regarding the future, where he's Medayik, as the Gemara brings later on the third parak, it says Lahara Lahaitiv, that's only a future tense. So although we're including the past too, but regarding carbon Oyla B'Yayrid, he holds it's only for the future. And the Tana of our Mishnah is saying that Yechayiv for all four carbon Oyla B'Yayrid. And he, Rabbi Kiva, and if it be like Rabbi Kiva, Ha'amar, he says in the Mishnah in the second parak, Al-Helem Tumahu Chayiv, only regarding the lapse of the Tumah, lapse of awareness, person forgets that he's Tumah, for that you're liable for Karban El B'Yared. But Ebe Ein Chayiv Al-Helem Mikdash, although we include that also if he forgets that this is the Mikdash or the Kaidish, but regarding that, he says that there's not going to be a Chayiv of a carbon. And our Mishnah says, Shehen Arba, which holds that for all four types of cases, there's a chiv of a carbon, which is neither like a bishmol or a bikiva. Rishu Gemara says, Ibai Semir Bishmol, if you want, you can say the Tan is a bishmol, and Ibai Semir Bikiva, if you want, you can say it's a bikiva. Ibai Semir Bishmol, if you want, you can say it's a bishmol, because mehen lechiv or mehen leptur. Yeah, you're not chayiv for all of them. There's two cases which are written in the Torah, which are for some you're liable for, some you're exempt. And ve'ibay semir b'kiva, and if you want, you can say to b'kiva, the same idea. Mehen l'chiv, mehen l'ptor. Some you're liable for, some you're exempt. Where, yeah, according to Bishmol, there's going to be an exemption regarding the past. According to b'kiva, there's going to be an exemption if it's helam mikdash of a kaidish. But you're right. That's what we're saying, that there's two that's four, but not that you're chayiv. Some that you're chayiv for, some that you're pater for. But there's four different types of cases that we're discussing that are included in this halacha. And that is the Gemara Lifter. Can you really say that when it says there's two that's four, that some of them you're going to be exempt for? The Gemara continues on the base and says, but hadumi demaris negayim katani. We had four different categories, four different halachas. One of them, and they're all compared to each other, is maris negayim. Now, mahasim kul l'chayuba, just like over there, all the four there's a liability for, because also the teiladis, the derivatives, are negayim. And when the person becomes pure from that nega of the teilada, he has to bring a carbon when he becomes pure. Savhachin, amin kul l'chayuba. Rather, it's obvious that the halacha of all of the categories, including shavuos, shtayim shenarba, are also all for liability. So it can't be like Rabbi Shmuel or like Rabbi Kiva. Says the Gemara, l'ayim Rabbi Shmuel, we can say it's Rabbi Shmuel. When did we say, as we say later on, the third peg, that Rabbi Shmuel holds that one is not liable for the past, a chalti or veloya chalti? That's only for carbon. That's what we were told in regards to a carbon, the Melevi Yared, when he does it by mistake. Aval Malkus, but regarding if they warned him and he did it deliberately, when there's a penalty of lashes, there Chayuv Mechayiv. There Rabbi Shmuel holds that the person is liable. And our Mishnah is actually talking about Shtayim Shenarba regarding Shavuos, is regards to when he does it deliberately in regards to a liability of Malkus. Moreover, says the Gemara, Ukudirava. In other words, because if you're going to say, wait a second, the regards to the, there is a case of L'sha'ava that you want to say, Rabbi Shmuel holds no, that you are Chayiv. You're right, in the past tense, he holds there's no Chiv of carbon, but there is a liability of Malkus, and that the Gemara forewarns a question. But that's what's known as a Lav She'im by Maisa. That's something that was done. The moving of the lips is not considered an action. He's saying he's swearing falsely regarding what was in the past. There's no action that he's doing in violating this negative prohibition, and there's no lashes for that. And that's what the Gemara says, that no, actually, for a shvuah biti l'sha'avar, there is lashes, like Rabbah says, because in the third parak, we say that there's going to be malchus for shvuah shav. What is shvuah shav? Shvuah shav is an oath in vain, where there's no utility for it, either because it's so obvious, everyone knows that this piece of wood is wood, or because he says that this piece of wood is metal, which is also in vain, because we know that's obviously not like that. Which the Gemara learns from Lo Yinaka Hashem, that it says because Hashem will not forgive, will not cleanse a person that does that, which the Gemara darshens, Hashem will not be menaka, but the courts could cleanse a person by giving him lashes. Now on that the Gemara asks, so we find that regards to a shvur shav, which that's regarding, like we said, if someone swears to change what's obvious, let's say says a man is a woman or a rock is a piece of gold. Because shav sounds like something that is in vain, like mishchi ha'ovin mechavli ha'shav, which is a nothing. But the Gemara asks, how do we know that there's going to be lashes and which will be cleansed by the courts regarding a shvur sheker, meaning an oath which is not so obvious, the guy's lying, we don't know if it's true or not, how do we know that there too there's going to be lashes? Says the Gemara, it says the word Lashav two times. If we don't need it to teach the second time regarding Shavua Shav, because we already know it from the first time it says Shav, says the Gemara, it comes to teach it regarding a Shavua Sheker. Now, the Amar Rabba says over there, Beferish Rib Satira, now the Torah is explicitly including Shavua Sheker, Dumi de Shavua Shav. What type of false oath? The type of false oath that's similar to an oath in vain. Meaning this Shavua Sheker that we're including from this extra word Lashav, Lashav, we're not coming to include, the Torah is only coming to include a shvur sheker that was regarding the past. For example, if he says, I ate or I didn't eat. From the moment that he takes the oath, that moment he said a false oath because it's something regarding the past and he's lying about it this second, which that's just very similar to the case of shvur shav, which is the moment when you say it, it's already that time, that moment that he violates it. And that's actually why the Torah includes a Shvur Sheker from the word Lashav, to say that it's regarding a Shvur Sheker regarding the past. So, therefore, Mashav L'Sha'avar, just like a Shvur Shav is in the past, when he's swearing to change what's obvious, he violates the oath the second he says it out of his mouth. Sa'av Sheker Nam L'Sha'avar, so too a false oath is also regarding the past. But one thing that we see from the Halacha of Rava is that a Shvur L'Sha'avar is going to get lashes, as we learn now from a Shvur Shav, which is specifically coming to include lashes regarding a Shvur Sha'avar. So therefore we could say that the halacha of our Mishnah is like a Bishmol, although he excludes a Shvur Sha'avar from Karban Al V'Yarid, but includes regarding Malkus, and our Mishnah of Shtayim Shen Arba is regarding the halacha of Malkus. So that asks the Gemara, but still, you're not going to be able to explain the halacha of our Mishnah that says Shehein Arba, that there are four, because it's not explaining all four cases. Bishlem achalti v'loy achalti. We understand regarding when he swears regarding the past that he says I ate or that I didn't eat. Regarding the two of the past, we know why he's going to get lashes. Kedirava, like you wrote from Rava, because that's explicitly included from the second time saying lashav, which is also regarding something that's happening right now, which was in the case of Shvur Sheker only regarding the past. Shaloi oichel v'ochel nami. We also understand the case of when he swears regarding the future. He says I'm not going to eat. And he does eat, we understand that there is going to be lashes because lav sheyesh b'maisu. When he ultimately eats in violation of his oath, that's a violation through an action. Because the moment that he's eating, is he violates lo yisishbu, and the eating is an action. Ela oichel v'lo yochel amai, but when he swears, I will eat, and he doesn't eat, why does he get lashes? Lav sheyesh b'maisu, it's a negative prohibition that has no action because by itself, when he's sitting and doesn't eat, it automatically, passively violates his oath. Now, moreover, regarding a shvua that's not in the past, that wasn't included from the extra word lashav, which it says two times, because Rava says explicitly it's only regarding like a shvua shav, which is in the past, which happens right now, not something regarding the future. So how are we going to explain, okay, it's Rabbi Shmuel, but it's regarding lashes, now regarding a carbon, that still doesn't explain the case of regarding future of saying that I will eat, and he doesn't eat, why are you going to get lashes over there? Says the Gemara, that's not difficult. Ksav Rebbe Shmuel, Rebbe Shmuel holds regarding the halachas of an entire Torah, lav she'im b'maisa lekin lav, he holds that even the negative prohibition, as we know there are opinions that say that, that there's no action, still you're going to get lashes, and therefore actually you don't even need a ribui, like we said, lisha avar. Any negative prohibition that's violated, even though there's no action, is going to get lashes, and therefore the halacha could be like Rebbe Shmuel, that it would be shtayim shen arba regarding lashes, even though there's no action, let's say regarding to the past, or regarding to the future of saying that I will, and he doesn't eat. However, the Gemara asks, Ihachi, but if that's the case, the way you want to explain the halacha of our Mishnah, let's talk about regarding the halachas of Malkus. So therefore, and our Mishnah doesn't say it to Rabbi Shmuel. It was what's called the Stam Mishnah. It was recorded by Rabbi Yehuda Anasi as an anonymous Mishnah, telling us that alav she'im b'maisa loikin alav, a negative prohibition that has no action, that's done passively, that's violated passively, one gets lashes. So then you have a kasha Reb Yechanan, Reb Yechanan. Why do you have a difficult Reb Yechanan? Because we know Dom Reb Yechanan mentioned many times in Shas, he says, halacha yistam mishnah. Halacha follows like anonymous mishnah. Reb Yehuda Anasi specifically didn't say who the town of the mishnah is, to say that halacha is like that. And therefore Reb Yechanan says, that's halacha. And our mishnah is anonymous mishnah, which is telling you, lav she'im b'maisa, loikin lav. Yet on the other hand, Ve'idmar was taught as follows. Regarding a case where shvur she'ichel kikar zayim, someone swore, took an oath, that I'm going to eat this loaf of bread today. Vav hayyim b'lo yochel, and the day passed, and guess what? He didn't eat it. So Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish the Amr Tavayu ain't like it. Both Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish both say regarding this halacha that the person does not get lashes, but they disagree regarding the reasoning of this halacha. The reason that each one gives, the other one does not hold of. As Gemara later on explains the foundation of their machlekes. What's the differing opinions? Rabbi Yechon, he says, Eina loika, Mishum to have a lav shame b'maisa. There's no lashes because it's a negative prohibition that's being violated passively, where he's just not eating. V'chalav shem b'maisa ain loik in love. Says Rabbi Yochanan, clearly in contradiction with the other halacha of like our halacha kestam mishnah, which is our mishnah based on what you're saying, that our mishnah is talking about malchus in the halacha of even though there's no action that you get malchus, here he says clearly that you don't get lashes for a negative prohibition that's violated passively. Rish Lakish, he says, no, a different reason is, ain't it like you don't get lashes in this case of when he swears he's going to eat and he doesn't eat, because hasra safiki. It's a doubtful warning, meaning anyone that needs to get a punishment, whether death penalty or lashes, has to be warned beforehand. But it has to be a definitive, a definite warning, and here it's doubtful because we don't know. Oh, you have to eat. Yeah, I might eat in a second. When someone does an action, you warn them right before, you know he's going to do it. Here we don't know every second if he's going to eat or not, so it's a doubtful asra. V'asra asafik leishma asra, that's not considered asra. But one thing is that we find the contradiction then in the halachas of Rabbi Yechonon. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yechonon stam achrin ashkach. Rabbi Yechonon found a different anonymous Mishnah, that from there it's obvious that you do not get lashes for alav shein b'maisa, which is not like our Mishnah, and therefore it's not a contradiction. He passes like that other stam Mishnah. Says the Gemara, hi stam, what's the other anonymous Mishnah? Ilem ha'istama ditnan, if you're going to say it's the anonymous Mishnah which was taught both in Pesachim and in Makkos, the Mishnah there says, aval ha'meiser b'tar. However, if someone leaves over the meat of a kosher carbon Pesach, or v'hashrev, if someone breaks the bone, which is betamer regarding a non-kosher carbon Pesach, eino leikas abam, regarding both these cases, the person would not get the 40 lashes. And moreover, this halacha of leaving over the meat of the kosher carbon Pesach, it's coming to say even the meat of a kosher carbon Pesach, for sure if it was a non-kosher carbon Pesach, where he's not going to get lashes. So regarding these two halachas, the Gemara explains as follows. Bishlam Mishayvah B'tamah, we understand that he's exempt when he breaks the bone of a non-kosher carbon Pesach, because the Pesach says in Shemais, Ve'etzem le'sish b'ru b'ay. It says the exclusionary term, you're not allowed to break the bone in it, in the Karban Pesach, which teaches us, B'kashav le'b apostle, only an optional, meaning a kosher Karban Pesach that has the kashrus of all the halachas to it, but not if it already became apostle. There's no isser of breaking the bone. Avala ma'isa, b'tar my time, but the Gemara asks, but why if someone leaves over the meat of the Karban Pesach, why doesn't he get lashes, but it's an explicit prohibition in the Torah not to leave over the meat of the Karban Pesach? So why wouldn't he get lashes? Says the Gemara, Lav Mishum Dava Lav Shein B'Maisa. This anonymous Mishnah is obviously teaching us, isn't it because there's no action involved in leaving over meat? It's done passively. Lav Shein B'Maisa ain't like enough. Any negative prohibition that has no action attached to it, one does not get lashes. So that's where Rabbi Yechonon says in his disagreement with Rish Lakish and this other halacha that you do not get lashes for Lav Shein B'Maisa. Because although our Mishnah is a Stam Mishnah that says you do get, he found a different Stam Mishnah that says you don't get. And that asked the Gemara, Mamai, but how do you know that this anonymous Mishnah, in both Pesach and Makkos, the Rabbi Yaakov, he's going like Rabbi Yaakov, the Amma that he says the reason why someone who leaves over the meat of the Karban Pesach does not get lashes, is because Lav Shein B'Maisa Ein Leiken Lav, like Rabbi Yechonon, like we want to say Rabbi Yechonon holds, because it's a negative prohibition without an action, that's why you don't get lashes. Ask the Gemara, Dem Rabbi Hudi, maybe that anonymous Mishnah is like Rabbi Huda. And actually the reason why you don't get lashes is for a totally different reason. It's because the Torah comes explicitly and gives you a positive commandment after the negative prohibition that tells you, and if you do leave over and you violate this negative prohibition, then says the Torah, okay, then you got to burn the leftover meat in the fire, which is called a lava nitik lase, that the Torah goes and removes the violation of this negative prohibition, and although you should get a punishment, let's say of lashes, it says, no, you know what, you could fix it by going ahead and getting a different punishment by having to perform a positive commandment of burning it in the fire. But halav ochilaki, but if not for the fact that it was nitik lase, even though it's halav shein b'maisa, maybe you would get lashes. The time like learn the braisa, this machlekes. The pasuk says in Shemais, leisisir mimen ad baika, don't leave over from the meat of the carbon until the morning. V'anoisim mimen ad baika, but if you leave it over till the morning, be'ish tisra, then you got to burn it in the fire. The pasuk is coming to lead to nasei achalais to say to give a positive commandment after the violation of the negative prohibition. Leimer shein leiken lof, to tell you that that's why you're not going to get lashes. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yaakov, he says leimer nashem huza. That's not the reason why there's not going to get lashes in this place. Rather, the reason is because there's no lashes in the first place for violating this negative prohibition, even without the nitik lasei. Shem dal have a lav shem b'maisa, because there's no action to this violation. And the negative prohibition that doesn't have action related to it does not get lashes. So we see that it's a machlekes. So how do you know this Stam Mishnah you want to prove from there is to say that why Rabbi Yechonon holds Lav Shem B'Maisa Ein Leiken Lav, that's why you don't get lashes for leaving off of the meat of the Karban Pesach? Maybe it's because of the reason of Rabbi Huda, because it's a Lav Anitik Laseh, but you can't prove that. We have an anonymous Mishnah to say Lav Shem B'Maisa Ein Leiken Lav, and then you're stuck with only our Mishnah being a clear-cut Lav Shem B'Maisa Leiken Lav. Why is Rabbi Yechonon say elsewhere the Lav Shem B'Maisa Ein Leiken Lav? Ella rather says, the Gemara, hi, Sama Ashkach. You already found a different anonymous Mishnah. Later on in this Masechta, on the Chav Zayin Mabez, the Mishnah says as follows. Shvur shlo eichel kikazu. Someone takes an oath that I'm not going to eat this loaf of bread. And then again he says, shvur shlo eichel, and he takes another oath that he's not going to eat that same loaf of bread. V'achel, and he eats it. So the Mishnah says, as we continue on top of Dalam and Aleph, in the Chayav al-Achas, he's only liable for one set of lashes, Because from the moment that he first took an oath the first time that he's not going to eat a loaf of bread, that loaf of bread became forbidden to him like an iser. When he takes another oath that he's not going to eat it, it essentially is considered nishba l'kayim es ha-mitzvah. He's swearing to fulfill a mitzvah because he already has a mitzvah to now keep his oath and don't eat that loaf of bread. And the Mishnah later on, the Chozayim Ranav, tells us that if someone swears to fulfill a mitzvah and he doesn't, he's exempt from a shvuah's carbon because it's only by something that's optional. If you already have a mitzvah, then that's not included in the halacha. So therefore here we took an oath and they took another oath. Second oath does not take effect. It's like nishba l'kayim es ha-mitzvah. That says the Mishnah, Zuhi Shvuas Bitois, this is the type of an oath of the utterance of the lips, Shechayavan Azdainamakis, which if someone violates this deliberately, he's going to be liable for lashes. Vashagagasa, carbon oil biyard, and he does it by mistake, he violates it, he's Mechayav or carbon oil biyard. So the Gemara makes the following diuk. Zuhi de Chayavan Azdainamakis, it's this type of a case, which is the case of future tense, that the person's going to be liable if he does it deliberately, that he's going to get lashes. And the reason for this is because the case described over here is a case that I'm not going to eat it. And when he does violate it, he's doing an action because he's eating. But if he swears that he's going to eat and he doesn't eat, then we could see from that Mishnah that what's being excluded is that loy loki. He's not going to get lashes because of lav she'im b'maisa. So therefore, that's the source for Rabbi Yechanan, a stam Mishnah, that lav she'im b'maisa ain't loy kalav. So the Gemara's b'mechti, let's see. High stomach of a high stomach. We have our Mishnah that's anonymous, which tells you that like and love. We have that Mishnah that's anonymous that tells you ain't like and love. My chazi David ki high stomach. Why do you see fit to paskin like that Mishnah later on, this Masechta, which is anonymous? Levit ki high stomach. Do like our Mishnah, which is anonymous, that says that you do get lashes. Torah Sigma responds, wait a second. Well, Tamech, according to your reasoning, Rebbe Gufi, Rebbe himself, how did he in our Mishnah anonymously say that you do get lashes, and how do you anonymously say later on that there is no lashes? Eller rather explains the Gemara, may occur originally, in the beginning of the Masechta, in our first Mishnah, Savar, he thought, lav she'im b'maisa loikin love. B'sasma, he thought that, yes, even a negative prohibition that has no action, someone violates it, he gets lashes, and therefore he said it anonymously, which is to tell you that would be the halacha. But Vahadur, later on, when they were learning the Masechta, Savar ain't loikin love, v'sasma, he thought that no, you don't get lashes. And therefore, he said a later Mishnah anonymously. Now, that's where Rabbi Yochanan says, like that later Mishnah, that ain't loikin love, because that's the later anonymous Mishnah, which is obvious that because Rabbi retracted from the original, from the initial Mishnah, opening up the Masechta. However, in spite of that, of Mishnah, the first Mishnah, even though Rabbi retracted from his original anonymity of the authorship of our opening Mishnah, but once it already spread to the masses of the students, so it wasn't possible in the generations after Rebbe to suddenly forget from their mouths and to stop learning Beis Medrash the opening Mishnah, which they were learning by heart from our opening Mishnah of our Masechta, so leizazim imkayma. So it didn't leave its place, and they left both Mishnayos. But someone who understands will realize that the later one is the primary one, where he retracted from the original one, which is why Rabbi Yochanan passed like the later Mishnah that lav shem b'maisa ain't like in love, and that explains why it doesn't contradict himself. Because although our Mishnah is saying, as we explained the halacha, that for now, that the town of our Mishnah should be small, and though you can't say Shtayim Shtayin Arba regarding the laws of carbon oil yared, but you could say it regarding the laws of lashes, and although it comes out that he holds Lav She'im B'maisa like in the love, in regards to when he says, I'm going to eat, and he doesn't, which is a negative prohibition passively, he holds that like in the love, but Rabbi Yechanan does not paskin like our Stam Mishnah, because there is another Stam Mishnah, as we from a different Amarek statement, that he holds Lav Shem B'maisa Ein Lekin Love as a later Mishnah, which is the primary one that Rabbi Yehuda Anasi was saysim in this Masechta, that he said the Lav Shem B'maisa is Ein Lekin Love.